Hallelujah. How's everybody tonight? Are you blessed and highly flavored? You got to be the salt, right? That means you sting. Not stink, sting. Amen? You sting. You're a stinger. Praise God. How many of y'all things are happening? Oh, yes. Glory, glory, glory. So they're still closing down places and so forth globally. Hallelujah. But God's got a plan. He always has a way of escape. Amen? Always. But without God's presence, you can't be led. You can assume a lot. An assumption gets you nothing but in trouble. Well, I thought. Well, too bad. Don't think. You know, your head is the most dangerous place. Amen? Does everybody understand that? See, we got to stop living out of the head and live from the head. That's Jesus. And start living out of the Spirit. And I believe so many things that are happening right now, God has multiple purpose. You know what I'm saying? When he just doesn't do one thing, he does multiple things that you can't even number. And I believe right now in all of this transition that we're in and everything that's happening, and we've talked about so many things what God is doing right now, crushing the pride, crushing the rebellion. He's exposing. He's giving people opportunities. He's judging. He's separating the goat and the sheep. He's exposing the wickedness. Remember, he said that evil, the word evil, will become a reality to mankind this year. They've never will understand the depths of evil until this year. It's going to be exposed. They're going to expose things and make people sick. And then they're going to expose things that are going to blow you away. Because the things that have been going on that mankind hasn't known of for so many years. But this is where the battle is. Remember, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting powers of darkness. But it's the powers of darkness that are using man. Amen? They're using man. And so in this arena, he's got false promises to people that have sold their life to the devil, to the powers of darkness for wealth and fame. And there are Christians that have sold their birthright and don't even know it. For fame and fortune. So many people do not receive a healing because they're on Social Security and they won't give up the money for Social Security and God doesn't heal them. Disability and all the other things. See, the devil uses money as a ploy to control mankind. If he can't use money, then he uses fear. If he can't use fear, he uses lust. Whatever he can use to put mankind under control so they can't reach that place of escape or so they can't connect. See, even in your worship, there's a process. There's three chambers in a tabernacle. You go through those chambers to connect. See, too many people quit, give up. They don't endure. But they'll stand in line for hours to cash a check. Hallelujah. Psalm 43. God is exposing everything. Psalm 43. That's where he says that you and I must be in a place of self-examination all the time. Why am I doing what I'm doing? What's my motive? What am I thinking? Why am I thinking that? Who told me that? Amen. Psalm 43. Is everybody there? Welcome to Tuesday Night Live, where the Word of God is worth a drive. aren't you glad we're not religious? Verse 1, let's speak it together. Vindicate me. Anybody want vindication? And don't be religious and say, oh, I don't want vindication. You all want vindication. Don't lie about it. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against the ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? And why do I go mourning because of the what? Oppression of the enemy. I want you to know that there are many people who are truly oppressed. And this is where the enemy is trying to bring people into right now, a state of oppression. Fear is oppression. He calls it his enemy. But he says something. He's praying. He says, Lord, vindicate me. Help me. In verse 3, he says, oh, send out your light and your truth. Your light and your truth. Let them what? Lead me. Let them bring me to your what? Holy hill. That's his presence. And to your what? Tabernacle. That's a place of gathering. That's why the Lord said, forsake not to gather, right? Then I will go to the altar of God, to my God exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Soul, heaviness. The soul was heavy. Why? Because he was oppressed. He saw the attack of the enemy. He was under oppression. He said, why are you disquieted with me, in me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Listen, when a person is oppressed, their countenance is changed. When a person's miserable, boy, do they have a terrible countenance. Man, you can see the spirit come in that person and that countenance changes instantly. So he's saying, vindicate me from the oppressor, the oppression, my soul. Let your light and your truth, which is the pathway to his presence, a place of escape. Well, escape what? The presence of evil, which brings oppression. It's going to change your countenance. That's why God says there's songs of what? Deliverance. So there's nothing wrong with driving down the road and singing. Some of you need to make sure your windows are up. Amen? Praise God. Psalm 9. We don't want to hurt nobody, you know what I'm saying? Glory. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 9. Verse 1 through 10. He says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart, not with my mind. See the difference between heart worship and head worship. I will tell of all of your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. I love it. Because in his presence is high. It's the greatest high you can have. That's why he's called the Most High. Amen? People pay big bucks to get high like you can in God's presence. But you can't sell his presence. You have to buy it. You have to what? Buy it. And that means that you got to cooperate. You got to deny yourself. You got to bust through. You got to sing and praise God till you drop, just like when you go shopping. Hallelujah. Verse 3. He says, when my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your what? Presence. So what's going to perish at his presence? Your enemies. How about oppression? Amen. How about fear? The reason why people struggle so much is because of the lack of presence of God in their life. For you have maintained my right and my cause. You sat on the throne judging in righteousness. You have rebuked the nations. You have destroyed the wicked. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. O enemy, destructions are finished forever. And you have destroyed cities. Even their memory has perished, but the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in what? Righteousness. He shall administer judgment for the peoples in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed and a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who what? Seek you. The greatest thing that you can do to show God your gratefulness is worship him. Amen. The world is being judged and God is replacing his presence for the presence of those who are willing to participate in the exchange. Amen. And it's through praise and worship. That's where exchange is at. Exchange is through your mouth when you exchange and through his presence. What are we exchanging? Pride for humility, oppression for joy. Amen. How about the oil of gladness? Yes, we need a little oil. Lots of oil. Keeps you lubricated. Flexible. Wow. Holy Ghost karate. You know, you get to beat the devil. Psalm 45. You're waiting for a title? Good. It's coming. It'll be in the mail. Psalm 45 and verse 6. Is everybody there? Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and you hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Everyone say, I'm anointed with the oil of gladness. In other words, there should be no miserable in your life if you're truly filled with the Spirit of God and his presence is there. Amen. I've never seen God miserable. He never told me at any time I'm miserable. Or he never told me I'm struggling either. He's never said that. Nehemiah chapter 8. Hallelujah. Nehemiah. Glory. Chapter 8. It's right after Ezra. Is everybody there? Nehemiah 8, verse 9. Let's speak it. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your what? Is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Wow. So he says, don't mourn. Don't grieve. Amen. Why? What was the opposite of? Well, that's oppression. Mourning, there's an extension of over-mourning. You know what? Some people are still mourning over their loved ones years down the road. We should be rejoicing. Heck, they made it home before you. Amen? no oppression of the wickedness, but awakening. There's something that's happening in this. Everything that's going on right now, we call it the Great Awakening. Amen? But people are awakening to reality. They're awakening to fear. Oh, what's going on? They're awakening. Many of them are awakening from evilness to righteousness. And there are people who've been caught up in good are now awakening to righteousness also. So we see this awakening as a spiritual awakening. What is it? It's an awakening to righteousness. Listen, we might have been good people. We might have been what we called good Christians. Oh, I just did the right things. But you really didn't. Because you can't do the right thing without God's presence. It's impossible. That's why the Lord says, submit to God. What does it mean, submit to His presence? Then you can resist the devil. You can't submit to the presence of God. That's impossible to resist the devil. I don't care how much of the words you read and memorize. Without God's presence, you will lose the battle. Amen? Because you must be backed by the presence of God called the anointing. If you're not backed by the presence of God, you're throwing seeds at the devil. It's not a sword anymore. And we have the sword of the Spirit, meaning the Word is backed by the anointing of God. So in this, we see this awakening. It's called a righteous awakening. Whenever we say righteous awakening, that's your title. Righteous awakening. You know what? People want justice. They want vindication. But there's something deeper that lies in an awakening. It's called a righteous awakening. So people are coming to this place. Some, like I said, some people have awakened in certain areas, realizing they've been deceived, they've been lied to. So then they go a little bit further. And then as they seek further, they begin to find out that, you know what? My life hasn't been pleasing to God. There's another awakening. We're going to see three levels of awakening. So according with the three chambers of God. You have the outer court awakening. You have the inner court awakening. You have the Holy of Holies awakening. There is an awakening where people are pressing through. And eventually they're coming to a place of they thirst and hunger for righteousness. They thirst and hunger for God's presence. They've been realizing that they haven't been doing what they should have been doing for so many years. Touching things that are unclean. Agreeing with things that are unclean. They're now coming to a place of even repentance. Forgive me, Lord, for doing those things I shouldn't have been doing. And forgiving others. Because you got to cut loose from bitterness. It doesn't matter what anyone's done to you. You got to forgive to cut them loose. Why? Because then you're cut yourself loose. If you don't cut them loose, you don't get cut loose. The Word says if you don't forgive, God ain't going to forgive you. Amen. So we are in a critical time right now, but you got to understand also that the enemy is trying to reconnect us all of this stuff. He's trying to replace us and put labels on us and bring us back to our past so we don't live from the future to the present. There is a tremendous battle going on, but in this battle, God is doing a righteous awakening to people. It's not just an awakening. He's bringing them into a place of righteousness. Psalm 16. But again, the Word says, those who thirst and hunger for His righteousness shall be filled with the Spirit. Amen? Is everybody okay? Righteous awakening. Or you might even say awakening to righteousness. Psalm 16 in verse 7. Let's speak it. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me. Now, can you set the Lord before you without His presence? No, you won't even remember to do it. You'll walk and do your own thing. Why? Because their mind of Christ is not maintaining activation. Everything is maintained activation by worship and presence of God, by speaking His word. But you're not even going to remember to speak it. I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be what? I won't be moved. I won't be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. Hallelujah. And my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in torment. Nor will you allow your Holy One, me, to see what? In other words, you won't touch, you won't agree with corruption. Do you understand this? He says, the Lord gave me counsel. I set Him before me. I won't be moved. I won't be moved to what? Touching something that's unclean. I won't be moved to agreeing with the things that are not right. He won't let my soul be tormented by oppression. Amen? And I won't agree with anything that's corrupt. He said, He will show me the path of life. He'll show you the path of life. In His presence is fullness of what? Joy. And the joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. And at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Again, He won't leave our soul in torment of the oppressor, nor allow us to partake in corruption, because we are satisfied in the fullness of His presence, and we carry the fullness of joy. This is where a righteous awakening is manifested. Because righteousness is just not an area. See, the world doesn't understand righteousness. They know good and evil. But they don't know righteousness. That's why everybody proclaims to be a good person. When you talk to people on the streets, that's, you know, I'm a good person. When you're a person you haven't seen in a long time, yeah, hey, how you doing, man? What's going on? Oh, I'm busy. Busy what? Busy running from God. Busy serving myself. Busy trying to save my life. Busy in survival mode and not surrender mode. Well, that's not an awakening. That's a sleep mode. Why? Because when it comes back to you in that, that person's not denying themselves. See, only when you are awakened can you deny yourself. And that's a part where you and I must maintain all the time. Why? To deny yourself is to keep awake. Think about when you're falling asleep sometimes, or you're somewhere and you need to stay awake. Like when you start reading the Bible, the enemy comes and tries to put you to sleep. Or you'd be somewhere, you know, you're trying to do something on whatever, and you start falling asleep. Oh. You're fighting to stay awake, aren't you? Well, there's a spiritual battle in the same way. You are fighting to stay awake so the enemy doesn't put you to sleep. Because he's put so many people to sleep now. It's incredible. So many people. That's why people that you thought, man, believe me, I've been at many houses in construction, and sweet people. Then I see who they're voting for, and I'm thinking, what the snap? These people are deceived. They're blinded. And you know what? As you get to know them, they're not connected. They do not. Oh, they go to church. They pay their tithes. They read their Bibles off and on, but they're not connected to the presence of God. So they reject conviction. Their heart gets hard. Psalm 5. Righteous awakening. Heck, even the President of the United States had a righteous awakening. Praise God. Hey, if somebody comes up and threatens to kill you, you might have an awakening. Amen? Well, that's what the devil's trying to do to you. He's trying to awaken people. I mean, he's trying to put people to sleep. Amen? But he's trying to kill you. In Psalm 5, start at verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation or my focus. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. And smell the coffee. In the morning I will direct it to you. And I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord upholds the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies, and make your way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them even shout for joy because you defend them. Let those who also love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him with a shield. You know, the shield of faith, too many times people think that just the shield of faith is right here. The shield of faith covers your whole body. Amen? It surrounds you. He says, hear me in the morning. I will fear you, reverence, honor, and respect you in worship. He says, lead me in your righteousness because the enemies of oppression and deception. I will rejoice, and those who will rejoice with you, who trust in you. He said, the blessing of righteousness. Listen, in this there's a true righteous awakening. You will find yourself even awakened to more righteousness. Things that you didn't consider before that were okay will become not okay anymore. Certain things that you were listening to in music that you thought, you're going to know more. Certain things that you might agree, certain people you associated with, no more. Why? Because you want to maintain an awakening to this righteousness right now. Amen? You want to be able to see things through and be prepared. Because you never know what side of the road the enemy's going to try and come and get you. He likes to sideswipe you or hit you in your blind spot. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. A righteous awakening. We're seeing it happen globally, aren't we? Second Corinthians 4. And verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. In other words, we don't quit. We have endurance. Can you get endurance without the presence of God? No. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel, the message of truth, is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So he tells us that there'll be blindness, this blindness of the enemy. It's called blind perception. And it's the blinding perception of truth. Let me share with you that it is your perception of things is vitally important. And this is where the enemy comes in and plays with perception. Deceptive perception. How you perceive things is vital. Without the Spirit, you will not perceive it or what we call interpret it correctly. And this is how the enemy first plays. He just doesn't come to someone and put them right to sleep. He plays with them. The first thing he looks for is a crack of compromise. If he can get you to compromise, he can slip in a deception that will promote a perception, a false perception of things. Why? Because then he brings people back into blindness. Man, there's many, everyone in this room has known someone that has gone back. One way or another. Or they're halfway there. And you really can't talk them out of it. You can't say anything to them. And they're promoting and voting for the things that God is displeased on. But you can't say anything to them because their first response is frustration and anger. Because that's called a react, not a respond. They can only react to you according to the flesh, not according to the Spirit. They're not willing to receive because their perception of things is they're right and everyone else is wrong. Has everybody got it? I mean, we used to be there when we were in the world. Are you kidding me? Everybody was wrong. I was the only one that knew it. And whatever I didn't know, my brother knew. That was nothing but a lie from hell. I didn't know nothing. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we see that this deceptive perception, and how does it come? By touching and agreeing with unclean things. Things of the world. Everyone say things of the world. See, again, there's a constant broadcast of lies, fears, and perversion coming from everywhere. Everywhere. It's constant. Constant. And we've got to be aware to this and not allow it to put us to sleep. We have to be awake and ready in season and out. Amen? Psalm 119. Righteous awakening. Yes, people are awakening to righteousness. Psalm 119. Again, it doesn't mean that people are bad. It means that they're deceived. That's the bottom line, is people are deceived. But the enemy wants to pound people that they're bad if you made a mistake. Man, how can you do this and this and that and whatever? And he wants to keep pounding you until you give up. Or you go back to carnal fulfillment. In verse 1, Psalm 119, let's speak it. Blessed are the what? Undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. In other words, according to his word. Undefiled means you don't touch anything that's unclean. Anything that God disagrees with is unclean. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies and who seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. You have commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. I will praise you with an uprightness of heart. When I learn your righteous judgments, I will keep your statutes and do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That I might not what? Sin against him. Blessed are the undefiled, those who are rejecting touching anything that's unclean, which perverts your perception. Anything that's unclean will begin to pervert your perception of things. You won't have that clarity. And what it does is it begins to bring oppression and fear. Why? Because a person's not aligning themselves up with the Word of God and learning His righteous judgments. You know, many people don't realize about consequences. The Word says, what you sow is what you reap. Nobody gets away with it. Everyone pays the consequence of sowing in the flesh. Nobody gets away with it. But God will use it to the good. Amen? He'll use it to train you. The moment you're... Listen, I had multiple years of sowing in the flesh. When I surrendered to the Lord, and He filled me and so forth and put me on the right path, I still was reaping. What was I reaping? I was reaping now doing everything I was supposed to be doing from before. But only was now I was living from the future, not from the past. But He was using all of that reaping do me to sow in the Spirit, to outrun some of it, and to use the rest of it to train me. Amen? So I had to deal with certain things that I didn't want to deal with. You know, people believe that just because you become a Christian, there's no problems. It's amazing. Well, I thought you were a Christian. Hello. Welcome to the earth, homie. You know, I mean, things happen. But the enemy's out to steal, kill, and destroy. But it doesn't mean that things are going to happen, not going to happen to you. You may get sick. Doesn't mean you have the plague. Hello? It doesn't mean you're coronized. It could be just a simple cold. It could be sinus, whatever. Don't freak out. Exodus chapter 3. Don't hibernate yourself. Glory. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's speak it. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So in other words, he made a choice to go and see what was going on. The moment he did that, God, what happened? God got his attention. He accepted his attention. In other words, God was trying to get his invitation, give him an invitation. But the moment he turned to accept it, so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God spoke. God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is what? Holy ground. Listen, God did not release his voice until Moses turned to see him. And then he invited Moses into his presence. But he said, take your shoes off. Why? Because it was associated with the world. The world can't come into God's presence. Amen? That was Moses' walk of the world. Is everybody all right? In verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the what? Oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I really believe that this is like a repeat. God has heard the cries of his people that are oppressed. He's heard the cries of the children that are still in cages. He's heard their cries of their tortures and their torments. He's heard the cries of everyone in oppression. So he's heard their cries. And he's sending out, not Moses, but God is sending out his own body. Amen? He said, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Remember, the word Egypt means is associated with the house of bondage. And to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and every other plague. But anyways, these were tribes, first of all, of Nephilim. These were tribes of giants. So he's going to take them out of the hand of Pharaoh, who was a Nephilim himself. Amen. Egypt was the ruler of the earth. Remember, Satan's kingdom, the offsprings of Satan's kingdom, the fallen ones, they called gods and goddesses and Zeus and everything else, they ruled the earth. They had egg-shaped heads. You know, they fit right perfectly in the hats they were wearing. Cone heads. You remember that from Saturday Night Live, Sylvia? Anyways, we won't go there, okay? Anyways, they were cone heads in the flesh. I guess what happens when a fallen angel has sex with a human? They become a cone head. In verse 9, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel have come up to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh thought he was God. That you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? You got to remember, he just met God. As far as he was out there hanging out with the sheep and everything, you know. And he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Again, this is so powerful, because I really believe this is what God is doing again right now. He's heard the cries of those who are oppressed. He's raising up. He's calling a righteous awakening, even to his own body. Listen, the body of Christ has been dormant. There's not been enough that have been wakened. They've been caught up in religion and asleep, calling themselves good, looking for God's prosperity, not looking for his judgment. But God is raising up warriors now. It's happening. He's calling people out of darkness into the light. He's calling people out of good and evil into righteousness. And again, your righteousness is to excel. It's to increase. But it's not our righteousness, it's his. Amen? So we're going to begin to see things that were thought were clean that weren't clean. They're unclean. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Go to Isaiah 30. Glory. Isaiah 30. In verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, who devise plans but not my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt, in other words, the house of bondage, or under the witchcraft of the fallen ones, who have not asked my advice. They go down to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. What is the shadow of Egypt? It's our spirits. Therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be their shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. For his princes were in Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of the people who could not benefit them, or be help or benefit, but a shame and also a what? A reproach. They were going, in other words, many of the world, the people are going to Egypt to be strengthened. What do they mean? They're going to darkness. They're selling their souls out. They're being strengthened by the things of witchcraft and sorcery. They're going to booze and drugs. That's going to Egypt also. Is everybody all right? 1 Corinthians 15. They're not awakened to righteousness. They have fallen asleep. First Corinthians 15, verse 33. Righteous awakening. You know, I know myself in the last, since Trump's been president, I mean, I was never involved in politics. Believe me, I didn't know who was who. Until I got saved, and then after a period of time when I knew Obama was an antichrist. I mean, you could tell that right off the bat. You could look at the guy, knew he lied. If you didn't, there was no spirit in you. And you didn't know if you were alive. But people couldn't even discern that this man was lying the whole time. They couldn't discern certain things. Why? Because their perception was flawed. They weren't carrying the presence of God. And they were, most of them were looking out for a handout and believing anything that they were saying. And isn't that what they're doing now in many places? Look at all the politicians that are running for president. Man, we'll give you the world. We'll give you Mars. We'll give you anything you want. Just vote for me. And you ain't going to get nothing then. But it's all a lie. And that's what they do. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, what does it say? It says, don't be what? Don't be what? Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts what? Good habits. In other words, who you associate with is going to mess with you, man. Verse 34. Awake to what? Awake to what? Righteousness. And don't sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak to this to your shame. Associations bring what? Impartations. Amen. You got to be careful what you agree with, what you vote for, what you promote. You want to go to sleep, touch the unclean things. Then your perception starts to change again. Galatians 4. One more scripture. Galatians chapter 4. In verse 1, let's speak it. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. You got to remember, listen, the world is run by Babylonian system, what we still call Egypt, too. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out what? Abba, Father, meaning Daddy. That's relationship. And that's what the Spirit brings by staying filled with the Spirit, relationship. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not God's. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in what? Bondage. And many people are doing that again. They're going back. And why are they going back? Because they're touching unclean things. Agreeing with unclean things. Not allowing God's presence to take over. Amen? He said, you ran, where was I? Where was I? Hallelujah. Never mind. Very good. Now I'm going to close at Psalm 19. Oh, hallelujah. So you can be aware of this awakening, and many people are awakening out of good and evil into righteousness. But many people are awakening or going to sleep from righteousness to good and evil. They're beginning to compromise that, and now their perception is changing. You'll find that people that were with you are now against you. Psalm 19. Verse 7. The law is what? Anybody there? Sheesh. You didn't go to sleep yet, did you? Verse 7. The law is what? Perfect. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise is simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is what? Pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is what? Warned. We are warned in what? Keeping them. By keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his ears? Cleanse us, Lord, from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Quit so assuming. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Awakening to righteousness. Again, this is a righteous awakening that's happening. Many people are coming into the kingdom. Many people are still hanging between two worlds. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your warning. And we thank you for your preparing. I pray for each and every one here tonight, Lord, that they will stay awake. Awake in the area of righteousness and justice. That they will see things through. That the Spirit will guide them and visit them in dreams and visions. And that you would prosper them, Lord, and protect them from any plagues or pestilence and lies so that they don't agree with it. You know, I want to share with you that many people, because of what they're agreeing with, is causing more of this plague. Does everybody understand that? They're agreeing with it. Because of the promotion that's being said on all the media and everything else. So it's spreading because of what people are saying. They're agreeing with it. Then people are becoming paranoid and caving themselves in their own home. And it's spreading more because of what people are believing and what they're saying. Amen. What you fear comes upon you, right? And what you speak is what you eat. And what you agree with. See, this is how the enemy plays. He puts the news up there and all of this stuff, and people are agreeing with it. Oh, yeah. And then it affects them. And you know what changes? Their perception. So be aware, please. Don't get sucked up and sucked in. Stay filled up and drive everything else out that's not dead. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.